Welcome to Rant of Thrones. I'm Justin.
Wow, I'm Kelly. And together, we are the world's sort of greatest mother and son Game of Thrones talking duo.
We are the greatest, damn it. We are the greatest. Disregard that intro. I just wanted to do it, god damn it.
But it was so freaking weird that I'm like, oh my god, I'm not gonna say anything nice about us.
You're like, just okay, not okay. I'm gonna forget that he said that, and then we're gonna just continue to move on to the Game of Thrones talk. I'm sorry, I'm really excited. It's freaking Game of Thrones. It's the season 6 premiere. I've had Game of Thrones beer that was really disgusting. I can't even remember. It was something about take the night's watch or something like that. It was, I didn't really like it all that much.
But it was Game of Thrones.
But it was Game of Thrones related, and it was $10.99 for one of them.
Oh, you are shitting me.
I bought it for the bottle, people. Bought it for the bottle. I mean, oh, God. If I like
dark beer.
I need
to come up with some kind of product to sell to you.
Because I will buy it. Uh-huh. I had to have it. I'm sporting my favorite new Game of Thrones shirt. It's got the Night's King on it. It's got Dany. It's got Jon. It's got Tyrion. It's got Bronn. It's got one of the dragons. I don't know if it's Drogon. I'm not sure. And it's in the style of Star Wars, not Return of the Jedi, A New Hope, I believe. I can't remember. It's the one where it's got Luke and Leia and, you know.
Let me just say this to
it's
you.
It's awesome.
Star Wars, you go wah, 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 wah when you start talking Star Wars to me. So.
Well, I love Star Wars too, but I love Game of Thrones even more. I'm excited for us to talk Game of Thrones.
And I know. This is one of the, obviously, we've loved the show since the very beginning.
Yes.
But for me, I never wanted to podcast about it or discuss it any time it was recorded, because I always said, there's no way I can sound smart after this show. There's just so much stuff going on that all I can do is just go, oh my God, I just loved it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that, because there are plenty of other very, very detailed, in-depth analyses of Game of Thrones that I, too, love. Like, I will go there. Throughout the past couple of weeks, I've just been doing deep dives into podcasts, into YouTube channels where they're talking about all these crazy theories and predictions and the history and lore of not only just Westeros, but the entire like lore of Game of Thrones. And it's amazing. And you get wrapped up in it. And I mean, just like Star Wars, where the people that really love Star Wars and that go deep into it and they like they know all the history of every single character and every single character's family and that, you know, their family's background and everything. They can tell you the entire lineage of all these families. That's what's so cool about Game of Thrones. That's not what you're going to get from us, though.
We are the poor man's Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Videos, podcasting, as soon as it turns into a podcast. For now, it's just a video.
Exactly.
Okay, so yeah, let's get into the episode.
Oh, okay.
The most important thing to me, I mean, I guess you wanted to tell what the episode was called. Sorry.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, the episode was entitled The Red Woman.
Okay,
this episode.
No, that's it. That's it. No,
that's
I'm sorry.
It?
Go
that's
ahead.
All I get?
Okay. No, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
And in this episode, the fate of Jon Snow is revealed. Daenerys meets a strong man, and Cersei sees her daughter again. And two out of those three, two out of those three go really, really badly for us. So I'll give at least one of those. Daenerys meets a strong man. It at least had somewhat. I'm going to give it a half. I'm going to get a half-see because, one, she didn't get killed, and two, she didn't get abused too much. I mean, she got abused by having to walk this very far distance, apparently, that the Dothraki were walking / riding.
Yeah, but for her, going to where all the widows are sent, she never wanted to do that.
No.
And so, you know, she thought she was doing the right thing by saying who she was, and actually, you know, she could have actually possibly made it worse.
Yes.
I mean, you know, as it was, maybe she would just have slept with the guy and snuck off. Maybe. I don't know. But
I don't know which would be worse, but Yeah, the Vice Darth Dothrak. I can't remember. I don't speak Dothraki, so I don't
know if aren't
I'm
you
doing
lame?
A poor job of that. Exactly. But what did you think of the episode overall?
Oh, I thought it was great. I was kind of hoping, and I still am holding out hope, but I was hoping that, you know, we were going to immediately see Jon Snow just, you know, jump right up and go, you know, fooled ya, I'm not dead.
Yeah, all you pricks are going to die now.
Yeah, but when, and I held out hope still when they said, oh, let's, you know, immediately get him inside. And I thought, okay, you know, we're still good.
Yeah.
But then when they closed his eyes, I was like, shit.
I'm still holding out hope. I mean, one, because it is, like you said, they're taking his body inside, which I understand that's, you know, they don't want him to just sit out there and rot in the snow, which I get. But the way that they're taking care of his body, bringing him inside, they don't want Sir Alistair Thorne getting to the body or anything. It just seems like there's something there that's going to happen. I mean, I'm with you. I keep waiting for his eyes to just pop open.
Yeah.
And Jon Snow is alive, like the hashtag says. But as of right now, it's not happening.
And when Melisandre came in,
yeah,
I thought, you know, I mean, she's magic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure this was going to be one reason for me to actually like this woman. You know, because especially last season, I just freaking hate her guts.
She's been pretty hated since he's came on. I mean, pretty much since her first introduction, which her first introduction was burning people alive. So, and she's continued on that path with burning Princess Shireen last season, which was, it's so tough to watch. I mean, they've been doing these Game of Thrones rewatches. We've been doing it with the On Demand and HBO Go and everything. And that episode, seeing Princess Shireen get burned, you're just like, this lady has got to pay. But it's so weird because right now, like, Sir Davos is one of my favorite characters in the show, as well as what I've read of the books. And it's crazy to think that him and Melisandre are going to be partnered up right now because, like you said, he tells the rest of the Night's Watch when Sir Alistair's, like, trying to come in and they know he's going to try and kill them all. He's basically like, we've got the Red Woman.
He's only going to be partnered up with her until he finds out what she did. And then I would have to predict that he's going to attempt to kill her.
I would think so. Him and Princess Shireen had such a close bond.
Oh, he loved her. That was the first thing he asked about was her.
God, that's gonna be one of those other, like, just to continue the tearjerker moments on Game of Thrones with people that die that other people love. I mean, he loved her, like you said, and she taught him to read. She told him all these stories. She loved him too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I dare say it, she might have loved him more than her own father, Stannis.
Of course she did. I mean, he was more like a father to her than Stannis. Yeah. Stannis was awful.
Oh man, Stannis was awful, but I will say, and I tweeted this out as I was rewatching season 5 last week, that I still felt bad for him whenever he was cut down by Brienne of Tarth. Because he was just blinded by ambition. It was bad. I mean, that's not saying that any of the things that he did is like are forgivable, but his blind ambition was so bad to be the king of the Iron Throne that he didn't see what he had in front of him. Now maybe his wife was batshit crazy. You know, she was a little off her rocker. I mean, she didn't really like Princess Shireen all that much anyway, but still, for the things that Stannis did, I don't know, for some reason, I still felt bad for him, but he deserved what he got, and he knew it, and that was the thing, and I was wondering if we were going to come back to that at all, because it was one of those deaths similar to the Hound, similar to a lot of people on the show, where the characters, it has that fade to black moment right before they get killed.
Right, and I wasn't sure, absolutely positive that she actually did it.
I wasn't either. I know that Brienne probably in that moment had to think, I think she might have felt something, because I think she probably would have wanted him to beg for her life, for his life.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't. He was just like, go on, do your duty. And I don't know why I said duty. Like
duty.
Do your duty. I'm in Game of Thrones mode. Damn it. Do your duty. Yes. This is how I talk whenever I watch Game of Thrones a lot, apparently. But the reason why I go into all this talk about things that happen at the end of season 5 and that finale is because that was what was so cool about this episode, is that it, I mean, for the most part, it directly tied into every single plot point that was left off in the finale of season 5. And it didn't tie all the loose ends up, but a freaking lot of them.
It was nice, because we've had this in other shows that we like a lot, where they, you know, the season finale sets things up, and then when you come back for the premiere, it completely ignores all those things that it set up.
Exactly.
Yeah, and obviously this game, the Game of Thrones premiere, did not do that at all. I mean, it started right off with Jon, so.
Yeah, I mean, it left off with Jon.
And he was still dead, damn it.
Yeah, no, damn it. He's the bestest. I just love Jon Snow.
Okay.
Going back and watching those episodes, and you go back and watch season 1, and
I know. See
this building of Jon Snow as we knew him in season 5, and you're just like, this dude, he's destined for greatness, people.
I mean
he was so nice to Tyrion. He was so nice to, you know, Arya. He was so good. But
okay, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If he is actually dead, how will that make you feel about the show?
I mean, it'll be tough to continue to watch the show, because there's not a lot of characters that I ultimately root for
right
at this point. It is going to be very tough, because he was probably one of the last few characters that I rooted for. I know
Arya.
Well, yes, Arya, you know, all the Starks I root for. Definitely, you know, I relate more to the Starks than anybody else. Now, I have other characters like Tyrion that you love on the show, but I don't know if I necessarily root for him. I love the fact that he's now coupled with Varys, and I love the scenes that they had together as they're walking through Meereen in this episode, because their back and forth banter is just, it's so damn good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And doing the rewatch, It's just poor Tyrion. I mean, I think he's had it worse than anybody else in the show. I mean, obviously we've had characters that have been killed.
Yeah.
But still, they, you know, pretty much were killed and that was it. He's been tortured and captured and, you know, just over and over and over again. That's the
family
fun thing.
Hates him.
Exactly. Everybody hates his guts.
Yeah.
That was what was interesting to me to you know, kind of marathon the seasons a little bit to remind me how desperately horrible it's been for him.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that obviously whenever we saw Robb Stark die and other characters die on the show, they were horrific deaths. Catelyn Stark, horrible. Ned Stark especially. But like you said, I keep saying like you said every like over and over again, they got their final death. They didn't have to be punished anymore. And God, Tyrion has been punished a lot over the season, so I don't know what's in store for him now, because as we see in this episode, it looks like, I'm guessing that's the Sons of the Harpy that are still kind of destroying Meereen and just do not like Khaleesi one bit. Did you think any other way? Because we see that all those ships get burned down.
You're right.
And I'm guessing that's still Sons of the Harpy, right?
I would think it would be. I mean, at this point, that's the only speculation that I can come up with. But I was very surprised to see all the ships burning.
Yeah, they're pissed, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is weird, too, because in that little scene between him and Varys, they're talking about the fact that the Free People are kind of upset because they feel like Khaleesi has left them, has abandoned them, as she rode away on her dragon in the season 5 finale. And then you've got the Sons of the Harpy, which didn't want her around in the first place. And they didn't get to finalize their ambush at the end of last season. So that was one of the more interesting things in this episode.
All right, so let me ask you about this.
Yeah.
When we see Sansa and Theon making their escape. You know, they're running off through the woods, you know, full tilt.
Yes.
I was kind of surprised at how well they were able to run. That was a pretty far fall.
I did want to see that. I wanted to see how the hell they made that drop. Like, that was one of those, just earlier you were talking about the fact that some scenes when we come back from a premiere, they just kind of forget about that.
Like that one. That was one.
That was definitely one where it's a little slightly unbelievable how the hell they made it from thousand foot drop or whatever.
There's no blood. No. There's no limping. There's, you know, I mean, no broken arms, you know, nothing. I mean, they're just, so that was, I had to laugh just a little bit at that. But
led to an unbelievably badass scene.
Yeah, it did. I was afraid that they were getting captured and that they were, you know, headed back to, you know, Bastardville.
Oh, God.
God, that dude is so...
What would he have done to Theon? Like, what else? You cut a dude's junk off.
Yeah.
You emasculate him to the point where he doesn't go by his own family name anymore. He goes by Reek. What else is there to do to that poor dude?
Well, now I kind of wondered because of dudes. I told you I'd be doing this because I can't remember Ramsay Bolton's uncle. Yeah, because his uncle had the conversation with him about, you know, how bad he screwed up.
Oh, his dad, Bruce.
Was that his dad?
Yeah, that's his. Well, yeah, he's a bastard. So that's his.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. I was thinking it was his uncle for some reason.
Yeah, no, that's his dad, Roose Bolton.
Yeah, but you know, saying that, you know, you screwed around with both of these. You had these two pawn pieces that could have really made it where you were able to rise, and you fucked them both.
Yeah.
Cut the wiener off one and rape the other one.
Yeah, it was interesting that I get that he would be upset about Sansa, that he's like, dude, this was our golden ticket, bro. Like, you fucked that up. But to point out Theon as well was kind of a twist that I wasn't expecting Roose to kind of flay him, if you will. But yeah, I really like that back and forth between the two of them, because Roose is, he's very driven. And while he, you know, he does agree that Ramsay, he's a good soldier, he gets things done, but some of his methods are not exactly the best methods to go about ruling over people, basically.
Well, and it really is a shame because Ramsay is, he's amazing at being able to get things done. You know, he's, hey, just, you know, give me 20 good men and I can do this.
Yeah.
And he does do it, but he's such just a sadistic bastard.
Yes. So, although, sense of the word.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I mean, technically now he's not.
Technically, but Roose likes to lord that over him at all points.
Yeah.
He's like, my wife is going to have a son, and then you will be screwed. It was interesting also to see that he was remorseful about Miranda, but then whenever the guy asks him, what does he want to do with her? He says, buried, burn, she's good meat, feed her to the hounds.
Yeah, that was, I did not take a lot of notes for this episode because I just wanted to really just enjoy it. But that was one that I took. I wrote that down because I thought, holy shit, here he is. I mean, he's mourning over her and talking about, you know, she was one of the few people that, you know, she wasn't afraid of anything. And he obviously respected her.
Yeah.
And I think he was in love with her.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But as much as he could actually love somebody, because apparently, you know, feed her to the hounds.
As much as a dude that cuts dudes' weenies off and, you know, rapes people and flays old women,
God.
As much as that person could love somebody, he definitely loved Miranda that way, for sure. And hunted people down.
Oh, my God.
With hounds. Right. Dude is a, he's a crazy, crazy guy. I love him on the show, though. and we need him on the show. Once Joffrey was killed, we were all thinking it. We're like, who can take his place? Like, we need this guy to root against. Oh, little did we know we had Ramsay waiting in the wings, and he makes Prince Joffrey look like a saint, basically.
Yeah, he does. Because Joffrey was a dick, but he was kind of like a powerless dick.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah, he was just a douchebag. That was
he killed Ned. I mean, that was definitely the one thing that he did, and he killed the butcher's boy back in season one. So we got to get back to Sansa and Theon really quickly, because we didn't talk about how badass that scene was. The fact that Brienne and Pod come to save them.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible. Did you jump up and down for joy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought they were in deep shit. I knew for you how much that would just thrill you, because you love Brienne so much.
I do.
So
she's 6 foot something of pure sexiness.
She is. She's awesome. Yes. I mean, she is one tough woman. So
I was worried there for a second when she got unseated from her horse. I was like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And then she just demolished those dudes, and it was glorious. And I loved when Theon saved Pod.
Yeah.
It was great. Theon, he's redeeming himself.
I hope he continues to do so. But what I loved about Brienne was when she immediately takes a knee.
Oh, I know.
She's just so by the book with everything she does. She's so honorable.
She's Ned Stark.
Yeah, she is.
In a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. That's, and taller.
Yeah, and taller. and better looking, for me at least. But, I mean, you know, not to take away from Sean Bean at all. He's a very handsome man. I think that's, for me especially, that's why I love her so much, because she does remind me of Ned Stark, because she is so honorable in a TV show filled with lots of dishonorable people. She's one of the truly good ones. I'm excited now. Thankfully now Sansa will be like, okay, yeah, you won me over this time. I'm going to let you protect me, because last time she was an idiot and she let Littlefinger manipulate her and tell freaking Brienne to go away. I was like, don't do that. That's stupid. We got to talk about the main thing that happened in this episode.
Was there a main thing?
Well, there was so many things in this episode. That's what's so glorious about it, but also so difficult to break down a Game of Thrones episode in 30 minutes or less. But the episode was entitled The Red Woman.
Yeah.
And that was for a reason.
Yeah.
And that is Melisandre's nickname. So what did you think about all of that craziness that we ended the episode on?
Well, what was funny to me is, you know, when we see her go to the mirror and, you know, and she's looking at herself and she starts to untie her dress. And I'm thinking, of course, they have got to work some way for us to see her beautiful boobies in this show. She does. She's got fantastic boobs. But I was like, holy crap. Why do we have to see this? And then, you know, and then she takes off the necklace. And as soon as she started taking off that necklace, I thought, uh-oh, you know, something is up here, because I don't remember her ever having that off. So, and then the next thing you see is this pathetic, very, very old-looking woman. I think
fragile is the best.
Yeah, not pathetic. She was just, fragile. And it kind of made me feel sorry for her.
No, that's exactly. I wrote down the same thing. I said it was kind of sad, because this was a moment for Melisandre where she feels defeated, I think.
Well, she should.
Well, yes, she definitely should. I mean, she's been feeding Stannis a line of BS for the last couple of seasons.
Okay. Do you feel like it was BS, or do you feel like she was telling him everything that she thought was true?
I think it's that, what you're saying. I think that she definitely, in her heart of hearts, felt like Stannis was the true king.
The prophecies that, you know, she would tell him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
I think 100% she thought that he was the person she was seeing in the prophecies, but I think she just, yeah, she just picked wrong. I think there is somebody out there.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. So yeah. Do you think she was seeing someone and it just wasn't Stannis?
Yes, I definitely do. I mean, for me, I personally believe, and I will go to the grave with this belief until I guess the showrunners or George R. R. Martin proves me otherwise.
Yeah.
But for me, that's Jon Snow. I think the name is Azor Ahai or something like that. I don't know 100% of everything to do with Game of Thrones, but I think that, yeah, that's Jon Snow. And I think he's the one that Melisandre is envisioning, but she thought it was Stannis for whatever reason. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing her visions and it being seeing Stannis like up top the Iron Throne or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
She just tells us that it's so. But yeah, I think she in this moment she's. I don't, you know. Well, obviously, Ser Davos is wanting her to, you know, is going to want her to help them.
Yes, and she went to bed.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was really, it wasn't bedtime.
No.
She
hey,
was just,
it is not
she's
bedtime.
Like, she's like, oh,
she's getting a good day, I'm a 5-hour nap in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take me a nap. So.
Yeah, my girlfriend pointed out, and I don't know if you thought this as well, she pointed out that she thought she was going to die. Like, that she was taking the necklace off, which obviously has some kind of magical powers, or it's in some kind of enchantments with the mm-hmm. necklace, you know, that makes it where her visual appearance looks young and beautiful and vibrant and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if she takes the necklace off, will all of a sudden the common cold kill her or something like that?
Right.
She is in Winterfell, or not Winterfell, she's, excuse me, the Wall. She's at the Wall.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I thought about that too, that maybe she's giving up, because I'm assuming that she doesn't ever take this necklace off because Stannis could have walked in on her at any moment.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if Davos is going to walk in at this moment, because she left it on the, like, on the nightstand, kind of far away from.
Okay. She dies. He takes it and puts it on Jon Snow.
Oh, I'm loving where your head's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on my main man, Jon yep. Snow, and those luscious locks of his.
I know it.
Oh,
so
that would
that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It would be awesome. It would be glorious if that were to happen, but I don't think it is, because I definitely think Melisandre is going to be around long enough for her and Ser Davos to butt heads because of the death of Princess Shireen.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that's got to happen at some point.
I just need Jon Snow to live. That's exactly. All I'm saying. I don't care how they make this happen.
I thought what's going to happen.
I thought that was what was going to happen too. I thought it was her witchery that was going to make it happen.
Yeah.
I was totally blown away. And then I thought, you know, when Ghost came up and you know, knocked his hand a little bit, I thought, okay, you know, somehow or another,
yeah,
Ghost is going to.
The direwolves have
yes,
some kind of
yes, power special power. Sure. Yeah. So
I'm just glad Ghost is still around, because Ghost is a badass.
Yeah.
And I freaking love Ghost, and I hope that Ghost eats fucking Ollie. That's what I want to see next week in episode 2. I just want to see Ghost eat Ollie.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I mean, he can eat Sir Alistair as well, you know, as a second breakfast.
Yeah.
So, and that wouldn't be too bad on for me to see. I would like that. So we like to give our review scores in bacons, because we happen to love the crap out of bacon. It's
everybody
of,
loves bacon.
Yeah, I feel bad for you if you can't eat bacon for some kind of cholesterol yeah. reasons or something, yeah. but you know at one point you really loved it.
Yeah.
Now it's just not good for you. You know, it could be harmful to your health. So we are going to give our score of this season 6, episode 1, The Red Woman premiere out of bacons. Out
yeah,
of
so... Yeah, one bacon is, you know, not so great, but still not
it's
bad.
It's bacon.
And obviously 5 bacons would be the best. I'm going to say 5 bacons.
Wow. That's an impressive amount of bacons right there. I think This is very tough. I'm going to go five bacons too, because it's fucking Game of Thrones, and I loved it.
That's the thing. You know, we've not done this before with Game of Thrones. How will we ever go less than five bacons?
I don't know. It's going to be very tough to go below five bacons, because the opening theme song alone is worth about four bacons
exactly.
for me.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you're just working up from like a tenths of bacons to get to that final one to make it a five out of five bacon episode.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know. I think that'll be the real question of the season. Do we get an episode that's not five bacons?
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will. Thanks so much for listening to our rambles of Game of Thrones. We're going to be doing this every week. I'm so excited for us to get to chit-chat about Game of Thrones. And we're also going to have a top 3 to 5 moments from the episode, a video. Who knows? There's never enough top moments from a Game of Thrones episode. I could say a lot of them, but we'll try to whittle it down to the best 3. Yeah. So definitely subscribe on YouTube. Our channel is Rantpocalypse. And leave us your comments in the comment box down below if you are watching on YouTube. And we'll be back next week to discuss episode 2 of season 6, guys. So thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with tell you something.